Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Softy and Dick on Seattle's original diehard sports station and home for the Huskies and Kraken. Sports Radio 950. KJR.
Hey, before we get to our next guest, I got a question for you, Jackson.
Yeah.
You watch Yellowstone?
A dollar in the pot.
Little inside joke right there. I asked last night on Twitter, I started watching, or I was going to start watching 1883, which is like a prequel to Yellowstone, and I got people telling me it's better than Yellowstone, which, man, that's a high freaking bar, dude. I don't know about that. We'll see. So, anyway, joining us right now on the radio show, and by the way, there is some breaking news from UW basketball. Mike Hopkins is in COVID protocol, so Will Conroy is going to coach the game tonight against Oregon State, and if he wins the game, he keeps the gig. How about
that? Is that the breaking news?
Yeah, it's the news.
Oh,
that I have confirmed that through some sources at the sports bar and the casino, that if Will Conroy ends up beating Oregon State's ass tonight, he can keep the job full-time. No, I don't know. I assume not true. But Mike Hopkins is in COVID protocol. He will not coach tonight against the Beavers, and Will Conroy will make his head coaching debut. Joining us right now on the radio show, you're always looking for new voices when it comes to Husky football coverage, and a guy that we got to know for a couple years when he was with not just, I believe, Steve Sarkisian, but also Chris Peterson. Former offensive lineman, he's now back with us to give his take on what's happening on Montlake, our old pal Dane Crane. How are you, man? What's going on?
Softy, I'm doing great. This is a real outhouse to penthouse moment for me, being an intern on your show 6-plus years ago to being a guest. This is huge.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, man. The penthouse at KJR doesn't look a lot different than the outhouse, pal. I'll tell you that right now. So don't get your hopes up, big boy. Well, let's first of all just kind of get your thoughts, your view from like 40,000 feet on what in the hell happened in 2021. You start with a loss to Montana, and the wheels just fell off the freaking bus, dude. What happened last year?
To explain that would be to explain what happened with Chernobyl. I mean, the amount of things that went wrong were pretty staggering. And like you said, from Montana on, I think, to be honest, they gave a pretty good blueprint on just how to beat us. I think our defense all year was pretty solid. I don't know if you would agree with me on that.
I would, yeah.
I think they were put up against the ropes quite often. You know, I actually rewatched that Montana game, a cut-up, just a few days ago. I was looking at it, and we have that first drive. We come out so beautifully. We were running the ball. We were hitting bubble screens. We were hitting passes over the middle. And then as soon as they started bringing 5, 6, 7 guys, we had nothing to do because we just simply couldn't complete passes down the field. And every team kind of took a page from that, stacked a box. We couldn't run, and they said beat us through the air, and we obviously couldn't do that.
How much of that, what you just said right there, and I agree, I think that Montana showed a blueprint, which is really frustrating and disappointing that it took an FCS team to show that blueprint, right? I mean, it would have been one thing if Michigan showed it, for God's sakes, or maybe somebody else down the road, but it was little Montana showing that blueprint. How much of that was the scheme, in your mind, the offensive coordinator and John Donovan, or maybe the offensive line just being way overhyped from the previous year?
I think it's probably a bit of a collection of all those things you just said. I think I never really minced words with my thoughts on John Donovan. I think Husky Twitter was much on my side on that. He just didn't seem very innovative. Threw the ball on first down a lot, not successfully, and that just put us against the ropes. I agree with you. Our offensive line underperformed this year. Extremely hyped as I've seen our group in the last decade. And I don't want to sound like an O-line apologist here, but yes, like I said, they underperformed. You'd expect them to play better with a 6-year center who'd started already multiple years. Obviously, Jackson Kirkland's one of the better linemen we've had in the last decade, and a lot of young guys who've got a lot of experience, Bynavalu, all that. But I do think that their hands were tied. As I've looked back, I just think how one-dimensional we became. When they got 7 guys coming, if you look at the Washington State game, they had 6 guys on the line of scrimmage almost the entire game. They rushed 7, and that's different, even though, you know, Hewitt, it was his first start.
Yeah.
But they said you're going to have to beat us through the air, and whether it was Dylan Morris, who clearly struggled just mightily throughout the entire season, or you put an 18, 19-year-old kid in Sam Huard in his first start in an Apple Cup, and they got seven coming at him all day. It's almost impossible to overcome that. No matter, you could have the Great Wall of Dallas up front. I don't know how you're supposed to be a successful offense when they know exactly the only way they can beat you.
Yeah,
sorry,
so
I got a little armed up.
No, you're good. So there's been a lot of people that have asked about that because, and again, Dane Crane with us, former UW offensive lineman with us on the radio show talking some dogs. You know, hey, why are you bringing back Scott Huff when the offensive line was so bad a year ago? And then somebody would kind of combat that and say, you know what, the line underperformed, but it was more the scheme that led them to underperform and look that way, and that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think we've learned that Scott Huff can obviously coach an offensive line. He's done so well. He sent several of our guys to the NFL, and I think it's kind of that chicken or the egg theory. You know, was it the poor line that led to the bad offensive play, or was it just a poor scheme and a lack of ability to get the ball downfield that kind of handcuffed our guys? And we were so underwhelming. I was just kind of going through our stats. I like to do this, and I kind of OD on it a little bit. We didn't have one guy on the entire offense with 500 plus yards from scrimmage. The last time that happened was 1973.
Oh, yeah.
And I also saw this stat. You remember in 2014, Shaq Thompson, I think he started, I believe it was three games at tailback because we were a little banged up with Dwayne Washington. So we started Shaq Thompson. He had more yards from scrimmage and rushing than any guy on our team had through 12 games this year. I mean, it was just so, so awful to watch.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't feel any better after hearing those numbers, to be totally honest with you. And oh, by the way,
we're moving on.
Well, by the way, when you admitted that you watched the Montana game, I'm starting to question if there's not something seriously wrong with you. If you go back and watch that game all over again, pal.
I'm certainly a masochist. I mean, I watched the cut up. I didn't watch all the commercial breaks and everything, but it brought me right back to the way I felt in September. For about 5 minutes, I thought we might go to the playoffs, and then it was very clear that we were not even close to that good. So
no, I'm totally with you. I mean, they looked great on that first drive, and then the whole thing fell apart. You know, if you would have turned the game off and said, we got this, whatever, and then come back in 2.5 months, you would have said, what the hell just happened? That's not exactly where this thing was going. But Dane Crane is with us. And okay, so now that we've established, and I agree that last year was a total dumpster fire, what about now? What about the guy they have in charge? What are you kind of hearing? You got, you know, high school players down there where you're at in California. You're reading everything online. Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, Chuck Morrell, William Inge. What do you think so far about this coaching staff? What do you make of the hire?
So, admittedly, when it first happened, I was pretty down, only because I was so excited about the possibility of Matt Campbell. That falls through. And then around that same time, Lincoln Riley's getting hired, Brian Kelly's leaving, all these other giant splash hires, and ours felt underwhelming. That being said, after the dust kind of settled and I really, you know, kind of went on that OD kick research of just his whole career, I mean, the guy's a winner, and he clearly is a very, very savvy offensive coach, and everywhere he goes, he improves the offense, and it really seems like this staff is kind of his dream staff that he's put around him. I mean, if you look at it, most of the staff was with him at Sioux Falls in NAIA, where they were, I don't know, 67-3 or something ridiculous, but they've all kind of separated over the years and they've worked their way back together. So it seems like he's got his guys. You know, how quickly he can get this thing turned around from where it is right now remains to be seen, but I think a lot of times with coaches like this, when you come in and you clean house and you get pretty much an all new staff outside of Huff, it's tough to get better, you know, overnight. It takes 2-3 years. Don James took two years of actually getting worse record wise before he got better. Coach Pete took over a 9-win program, and then he won 8, and then he won 7, and then he won 12. You know, it doesn't happen overnight because you got to get your recruits in there. You got to really establish that it's your building and it's your team moving forward, and I think he's definitely going to do it. So
Why do you think that?
Why do I think he's going to do it?
Yeah.
I just think he's put really good people around him. I think it was time to change direction. I think once Coach Pete left, and I love Coach Lake. I was on the team when he was there and I had a good relationship with him, but it just felt like, you know, I remember hearing that quote from Jim Harbaugh about Ryan Day, that some people were born on third base and think they hit a triple. I think it's easy to think you can recreate something you know, that you've seen happen, you've seen work, you've seen be special. But sometimes it really is, you know, that leader that makes it so special that kind of puts the machine in motion. And I just think, I don't know, maybe it's just optimism, but I feel like DeBoer is right for this job. I like what he did at Fresno. I like what he's done as a coordinator. And I obviously, even if I go back to Sioux Falls, I love what the guy's done.
Yeah, well, he's won everywhere he's been. There's no doubt, you know, whatever that means, he's a winner. You know, he's won at every single stop. And, you know, that's kind of the traits of, you know, guys like Chris Peterson, Jim Harbaugh. They just win everywhere they go. And we'll see if Kalen DeBoer can do it here at UW. Former Husky offensive lineman Dane Crane is with us for a few more minutes. And, you know, I'll admit that, you know, losing Jimmy Lake was bittersweet because the impact he made on that defense was obvious. I mean, you got guys all over the NFL playoffs that played for Jimmy Lake. You got guys all over NFL secondaries making tens of millions of dollars a year that played for Jimmy Lake. I think the net outcome for him was positive on Montlake, and now he's gone. That defense has been phenomenal. So are we concerned about what the departure of Jimmy Lake is going to mean short term, if not long term, for that defense, Dane?
I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a little bit scary, just considering we've had Jimmy Lake or Pete Kwiatkowski on campus for the last 7 years, two guys who have had just unprecedented success. We're known for our defense. You know, it used to be we had this great defense and we could run the ball, and then obviously our inability to do that this season just showed how if we're one-dimensional, we have this great defense, they can only hold off for so long. Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I don't know too much about our new co-DCs other than just what I've researched, but it's hard for me to think we'll get better from this hire. But I think offensively there's no question we will at least go in a very, very positive direction. So yeah. I can say all this stuff, I can act like I know if it's going to be successful or not. I think we both know time is the only thing that's going to tell. The whole recruiting landscape is pretty scary with all this NLI stuff and the portal. I mean, we lost so many guys, and we have three early signees. I don't know if that's way too little or way too much. It's just such an ever-changing landscape in college football. I'm just trying to keep up.
No, I'm with you 1,000%. Dane, before you go, and this is great, we definitely gonna have you on again. Tell me about the quarterback situation. You know, I guess there's an assumption that Penix is your guy because he's the transfer, and maybe Heward sits for another year. But give us your overview on where we are at quarterback, man.
Well, I hope Dylan Morris doesn't have blackmail on DeBoer like he did on Lake, because I just couldn't believe that he got to play continually through the season. But moving forward, I will say I love Heward. He's one of the best recruits we've ever had. I understand he didn't play great in the Apple Cup, but like I was explaining earlier, I think the circumstances were extremely, extremely brutal. It was kind of a baptism by fire. I'm pulling for him. You know, I have a lot of respect for his father and his uncle, and he's a legacy guy and obviously has talent. If Penix is the guy right away, I don't think DeBoer's gonna play some guy just because he comes from Indiana. But if he's the right guy, he's the right guy. I'd be very content if it's either one of those guys. I hope Heward sticks around the program. It's hard to know these days, but the fact he's still here now it keeps me optimistic.
Dane Crane, awesome stuff, man. Keep in touch. Go Dogs. And next time you think about watching the tape of that Montana again, just put it down, walk away, give me a call, and I'll talk you out of it. All right, pal? Awesome stuff. Love hearing your voice, and we'll talk soon, buddy.
Sounds good, Falfi. Go Dogs.
You bet. Go Dogs, man. Dane Crane, former offensive lineman. How about that stat, by the way, on the freaking position players from last year?
Stats are for losers.
Are you kidding me? Did not have one single position player, outside of quarterback, obviously, go over 500 yards from scrimmage. And he's exactly right. I was looking it up, you know, as he was talking there. He thought maybe Sean McGrew would have had over 500. The guy ran for 430. No, he only caught 8 balls the entire season and had 50 yards receiving. So he didn't get over 500. Nobody else had more than 308 yards rushing, and that was Cam Davis and Kamari Pleasant. Maybe McMillan, maybe Bynum had some jet sweeps or whatever. No, that didn't happen either. So, I mean, that is just a criminal misuse of your position players by Jimmy Lake and John Donovan last year. And that actually gives me some hope that with a better staff and with competent coaches, that maybe these guys are going to be a little bit closer than we think to getting back to competing for a Pac-12 championship. Mike Holmgren joins us coming up, by the way, at 4 o'clock today right here on 950K.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.